It's now my duty and pleasure to ask our brother to give us the necessary words of exhortation.
Well, good morning, brethren and sisters. It's lovely to be with you here this morning, yet again. And I want to ask a few questions, rhetorical, of course. What are our priorities? Do we spend so much time on one thing to the detriment of the service of the truth, service to the Lord? Come with me to James chapter 5. Now remember this, and it's actually headed the general epistle of James, but under inspiration, James wrote to believers. And so in chapter 5, we must bear in mind, brothers and sisters, he, through inspiration, is writing to believers. So consider these hard words. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rest of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. There are those that James were writing to in the ecclesia who put more preference in the things that they were doing outside the ecclesia, I put to you. Where we all have to earn a living, and there are some times where we're busier than others and the pressures of the world upon us. And I guess even those who are in college or those retired are finding that lives can be very busy also. And where do the priorities lie? Because here we have, if we're not careful, we can spend so much time on things that are not of the truth, and we find that the work in the truth is pushed aside. A brother once said to me, quite astonishingly, when I was at a fraternal at another meeting, that he'd had a busy week. He had helped with the catering of the fraternal, and he'd got a busy week ahead, so he wouldn't be at the memorial meeting the next day because he wanted to have a rest in preparation for the work ahead in his workplace. Now I use that as example not to judge that brother, and I must always look at myself first when I give an exhortation. We should all look at ourselves. But if we're not careful, brothers and sisters, we can have that attitude, can't we? Come with me to Joshua chapter 18. The children of Israel were commanded by the Lord to go and take the land. Joshua instructed the people. And look at this, if we read in verse 2 of Joshua 18. And there remained among the children of Israel seven tribes which had not yet received their inheritance. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, how long are ye slack? Now the word slack there is the idea of being a sluggard. Not putting your hand to the plough, as it were. Not putting your shoulder to the work. You are commanded to do this. Don't be slothful. And if we're not careful, brethren and sisters, we can put so much energies into things outside in the world that if we're not careful, because we all have very busy times, particularly at some moments, that energy that we have might not transfer into work in the ecclesia. We can all feel sometimes, and I'm sure we all do, we've been out to work. It's been a long day. It's been a difficult day. We get home, say at 7 o'clock, and Bible class is at 8, and it's dark outside and the wind is howling. We look outside, don't fancy it tonight, I've had a hard day. We could have an ecclesial activity on a weekend. Well, it's been a difficult week. I think I'll give it a miss this time at the meeting to help in whatever activities, billing or whatever we might be doing. How will the work be done, brethren and sisters? Because what James has been saying is that, yeah, you put your energies to make yourself rich, but they just will die away. Last week, a brother exhorted at our meeting and informed me that his son had recently taken a discussion group. And there were some young brethren there, and I'm absolutely astonished at this because it is wrong at every conceivable level. And you'll be astonished what I'm going to tell you now. Young brethren there in that discussion group were complaining because they had voted in the recent Brexit issue. And they voted to stay in Europe because they felt that that's where their riches would come by staying in Europe. How ridiculous. Not only to vote, they voted against the law, didn't they? They didn't take the commandments not to be involved, and they wanted to stay because of their riches. Can't we understand, brethren and sisters? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The Lord will take care of you. The Lord knows when a sparrow dies. He knows these things. He knows what we need. Let's put our trust in him and give time, our time and commitment, and not be slack and not take the inheritance like the children of Israel, seven tribes, had not taken. They're powerful words, aren't they, brethren and sisters? Are our priorities right? Come with me to the first reading of the day, 2 Chronicles. Before we go into chapter 7, let's have a look at chapter 5 and verse 11. So we're reading earlier this week. So if we go into the 2 Chronicles and chapter 5, and you can see it's the building of the temple. Now, we believe in Scripture, and we know that the body of Christ, the temple we are. And to work together to build that temple and support one another, isn't it, brethren and sisters, in all activities in the truth. So when we come to verse 16 of 2 Chronicles 5. Look at this. The pots also and the shovels and the flesh hooks and their instruments did Huram his father make to King Solomon for the house of the Lord of bright brass. And it talks about in the plain that the king cast them. And in verse 18, thus Solomon made all the vessels in great abundance, for the weight of the brass could not be found. And Solomon made all the vessels for the house of God, the golden altar also, and the tables whereon the showbread was set. And he goes on more about the candlesticks. And I picked this particular verses because notice the detail, notice the small things, not just the great, that the commitment had to be there to get it right, to prepare and to work to get the temple completed. And we should work together, brethren and sisters, as the temple of the living God for that day to come when the glory of God will fill this earth. There was no half-heartedness here. It had to be done correctly. There had to be work done to get this right. There was no shirking of responsibilities or saying, I'm going to do other things. It had to be right. Work had to be put there. So when we come to the 2 Chronicles and chapter 7, our chapter today, just picking one particular verse out, verse 11, thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house and all that came into Solomon's heart to make the house of the Lord, and in his house he prospered, prosperedly effected. Now listen to that. He was a man of faith. Yes, Solomon had difficulties later in his life, and I believe at the end of his life he came to his senses again, Ecclesiastes. But at this time, and don't forget, his father David with Samuel prepared these things. They worked, didn't they, to get things together right? If they hadn't have done that, where would things be? Notice Solomon finished the work because he was right in his heart. He knew the priorities. He committed his time to serve the Lord. He was not slack. He was not sluggish. He was not slothful. And that's the power of the word here. And do you notice that he prospered effectively? The Lord looked after his needs. Solomon gave the time to service. And as a king, he would have been busy. Head of state, head of the country, he would have been a busy person. But he committed his life to the Lord. He didn't say, oh, it's too tiring. No, he did the work. And I think we should learn from that, brethren and sisters. For us to serve the Lord, we must put effort in, and we must do it right as well, brethren and sisters. And how can we do it right? By reading the word, which guides us and instructs us and shows us the pattern that was given in the mount. And I use that phrase because we got the tabernacles, we know, we got the temple here. Let's look at Ezekiel's, which we read, and the precision that is given in this. It must be worked at, brethren and sisters. The word of the Lord and doctrines just don't come in the air to us in the sense that we just pick them up willy-nilly. We've got to study the word. We've got to look into the word and understand it so that we can live the life by it and give time to this. So, Ezekiel and chapter 42. And do you notice at the end of that chapter how things were so precise and right? We read in verse 15 that when he made an end of measuring the inner house. Verse 16, he measured the east side. And you've got the measurements there, 500 reeds with the measuring reed round about. Verse 17, the north side is measured, 500 reeds. Verse 18, the south side, 500 reeds. Then he turned to the west side and measured 500 reeds. For all that to work, brethren and sisters, and to be in place, not only had time and commitment had to come, it was precision. And to get it precise, we've got to work at it and give time to the Lord. Now, if we therefore have priorities elsewhere, we can't do that, can we? If it takes up our time and we say, well, we won't do this or do that for a brother and sister or for the meeting because we've got other things to do, not only are those things incomplete, we'll never get them right in the first place. Do we know our brethren and sisters? Do we know our needs? Do we know each other? Do we work together for the service of the Lord, or do we find that sometimes we're not there? And I look at myself first, so this is an exhortation for all of us. I think some meetings, and I can't say for every meeting, is that you remain in fellowship if you turn up on a Sunday once every 6 weeks. True. And I know one or two who have done that in the past. And how can he know your brethren and sisters? How can he know the ecclesial life? How can he know the service to the Lord? How can he be precise in the way that you live, in the sense of what we're reading here? How can we give ourselves over and our energies and time if we have other things that take priority? On Thursday, I had to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to go to an early morning meeting in London. And I'm sure my client would not have been impressed if I had got up and said, oh, sorry, I can't come this morning because it's windy and raining and it's a bit too early. So if somebody from a human sense would say that to me, if I didn't turn up, what does the Lord think of us if we don't turn up? Who is greater than all that? Powerful exhortation, isn't it, brethren and sisters? Because we can be easily sucked in and feel comfortable in our lives because, well, you know, in these days, in comparison to former times and in comparison, and Brother Martin read in his announcements about the, Project Cherubim, was it, about giving clothes to those in Eastern Europe, in particular our brethren and sisters, to help them. They live in poverty. Compared to us, brothers and sisters, we live richly, don't we? Haggai in chapter 1. And here's a warning to us what we can be like if we're not careful. Haggai in chapter 1. verse 2. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. They were doing other things. They had other priorities. Other things were crowded on so much that they didn't put themselves to the work. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, this is the time for you, O Ed, that dwell in sealed houses. Sealed houses where there's roofs to cover and there's comfortableness and everything's fine. Oh yes, we're doing fine in life. But the house of the Lord is laid waste. Can we be like that, brethren and sisters, and we put our energies into the riches? We have to work to live. Yes, the Lord provides for that. We must remember that. He provides according to our need. Not necessarily what we want, but according to our need, yes. And we deny that time because we've committed so much other time and we don't feel we can do it because we're too tired or we want to do other things, and the house of the Lord is laid waste, or work is not done in the house of the Lord. Well, what does the Lord say in verse 5? Consider your ways. In verse 6, ye have so much and bring in little, ye eat, but ye have not enough. That's what the world does. They want more and more and they never feel satisfied. He that earneth wages to put in a bag with holes, it goes. Somebody said to me, there's no point being the richest man or woman in the cemetery, is it? And we know some of the Psalms that talk about the riches of those who they give their posterity afterwards and they don't see them. They go to the grave like the beasts. And then verse 7 again, consider your ways. And so we should consider our ways, brethren and sisters. When we go to just the chapter before in Zephaniah, in chapter 14 to 17, we have these words about the great hope that we have in contrast. Oh, sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all thy heart. And it talks about the judgments of the Lord. And then the King of Israel, even the Lord is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see any more evil any more. In that day it shall be said, Jerusalem, fear not, and to Zion, let not thy hands be slack. Don't be sluggish, don't be slothful in the things of the Lord, don't be lacking, because the Lord is coming. The Lord will be in the midst of thee, and you will not see evil any more. That's the great hope we have. But to be part of that, we must work in service to the Lord and not be slack. And verse 17, and therefore the blessing is, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy, he will rest in love, he will joy over thee with singing. Isn't that great, far greater than riches? Far greater than priorities elsewhere? Which might take up our time, and therefore if they do, then we become slack in the things of the Lord. The judgments are there for us, brethren and sisters, and we must be very careful. Come with me to Nehemiah. It's a lovely little picture here that I want to show you, brethren and sisters. Nehemiah and chapter 3. I smile at this little example, and I don't know if you've seen it before. It was shown to me by a brother many years ago. That in Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 5, we read about the building of the wall. They had to build the wall, and under great duress with all the enemies around, didn't we? And Nehemiah's faith is shown here. And others' faith as well. But look at verse 5. And next unto them, in building the wall unto the various people, the Tekoites repaired. But their nobles put not their necks to the work of their Lord. That wasn't a good example, was it? Everybody needed to commit the time and effort to build this wall, but the nobles of the Tekoites didn't. And it makes me smile, brethren and sisters, if I can use that phrase. In verse 27, when they were still building the wall and they got to the other parts of the wall around Jerusalem, and then the Tekoites repaired another piece over against the great tower that lieth out even unto the wall of Ophel. The people saw that the Tekoites, or certainly the nobles, did not put their necks to the work. So what did they do? They gave them the hardest job. They would have to swing out in baskets over this area against the wall of Ophel. And if they did not put their neck to the work hanging in that basket, there was only one way going down, dropping into the valley of Kidron. If you want to get somebody to do work, give them the hardest work that they can't get out of it. But it's true, isn't it? So here's the Tekoites who didn't put their hand next to the work of the nobles, were given the hardest job, and they had to work in that position. Otherwise, they would have fallen to their death. They couldn't have idled in that position, hanging over the valley of Kidron. Lovely, lovely little picture there of how to work together and cause people to, think about these things. Think about these things and to work together in a service of the truth. Proverbs chapter 21. These are the well-known words to us, I believe, verses 25 and 26. The desire of the slothful killeth him, and his hands refuse to labour. He coveteth greedily all the day long. So there's that greed, but the righteous giveth and spareth not. The exhortation is that the righteous will always work in service of the truth. But if we are slothful and our hands refuse to labour, what is our end, brethren and sisters? And in chapter 22, verse 13, another well-known verse. The slothful man saith, there is a lion without, I shall be slain in the streets. We can all give excuses, brethren and sisters, not to put our hands to the work. It's there for us, isn't it, brethren and sisters? And I think you'll probably be ahead of me when we turn to Matthew chapter 25. Here's a real lesson for us about the Lord speaking here in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 24. About the talents, isn't it? The 10, the 5 and the 1. And we all have different talents. They're all not the same. We all need each other, whether the hand or the foot, the eye or the ear. Doesn't matter. We come together as a collective, as one body. And if one person has more talents than another, that doesn't mean to say that one individual is greater than the other person, because we all need those talents that we have to bring together. But here we have in verse 24 about the one that had one talent and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathered where thou hast not strawed, and I was afraid and went and hid thy talent. It's the Lord that's given us the talent, brethren and sisters. In the earth, lo, there thou hast is thine. What did the Lord say? Didn't pat him on the back, did he? Didn't praise him. He says, the Lord answered and said to him, thou wicked and slothful, there it is, servant. You know, you had that talent and you never put it to the service that I had given you that talent for to work. Thou wicked and slothful servant, that knewest that I reap and I sow not, and gathered where I have not straw. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to exchange. Should have done something in the service of the Lord with it. And in verse 28, the judgment. Take therefore the talent to him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. Him who works in the service of the truth. Powerful exhortation, isn't it, brethren and sisters, to us all. We are all given talents. We can all contribute. It doesn't matter what those talents are that we've been given, whether it's 1, 5 or 10. The Lord has blessed us with certain abilities. And we all have different abilities so that we can come together as one to serve the Lord. And we should recognize those and use those in the service of the truth. In Romans chapter 12, we're also given the same, brethren and sisters. This is a theme that comes all the way through, doesn't it? And verses 9 through to verse 13. Let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. And that's what we should do, cleave to that. Cleave to work in service of the Lord, that's the good. We'll be kindly affection one to another with brotherly love, in honour preferring one another. Here we are, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, as Brother Martin had just made that example in the announcements this morning. Given to hospitality. We felt very welcomed, as we always do at Dudley, and here we are, brothers and sisters, supporting one another and being together. Isn't it a wonderful, wonderful family we have in the truth? My family aren't Christadelphians. I've come from, as we call it, outside, so I did been brought up in. I started coming to Sunday school at the age of 13. And I soon learned that we weren't perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but we had a wonderful family. I could go to youth weekends, like my youngest daughter here who goes to youth weekends, and we can go to places we haven't been before but feel safe and assured. And as parents, we feel safe and assured they're going and staying with brethren and sisters. So where else can you know about that in the world? We had a wonderful family, brethren and sisters. But to do that, we must work together at it. We must have that faith. We must not neglect the truth and the fellowship that we have and put our lives into other things. Hebrews and chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. I'm going in at verse 9 to 12. But beloved, ye are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we speak, thus speak. For God is not unrighteousness to forget your work and labour of love. God will not forget that, but if you don't do it, then God will forget us, because we will have no part and lot in that time to come. Which ye have showed towards his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints, and do minister. Here we are, the ministration. How can we minister to one another if we're not here? And we desire every one of you to show the same diligence. That's the idea there, brethren and sisters. Diligence. Notice that. Which is the same word as business that we talked about in Romans 12. It says not slothful in build business. Don't be slothful in diligence. Commit yourself to the service, to the full assurance of hope to the end, that he be not slothful. There it is again, the warning for us. But followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. How can we follow the examples of the Lord Jesus, but our brethren and sisters who have through many years shown the way? I've learnt a lot from brethren and sisters who have shown the way before me. And those who suffered difficulties in the Second World War and have to stand up for what they believed, what we believe in the truth, under great duress. Great examples for us. But for that to happen, we must be here. We must work together to learn. Otherwise, we are slothful and we reject those things, the great promises to Abraham, which it talks here about. All these wonderful things are there for us, brethren and sisters. And if we're not careful, we can have these things happen in verse 4 of the same chapter of Hebrews 6. For it is impossible for those who are once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted of the good word of God and the power of the world to come, if they shall fall away. We've got to be careful not to fall away, brethren and sisters, but to be diligent, not to be slothful, to work together. Because if we do not work together, if we do not have these things, and we're caught away by so many things in the world that they take up all our time and energies, and we don't want to give more in life, and therefore do not want to serve the Lord, we can fall away. And these are very, very strong words. if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing... They're very difficult words to read, but they're powerful, brothers and sisters. They crucify them to themselves, the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. Wow. You think of those words, brethren and sisters. If having been taught and learned, we then become slothful in the things of the Lord, and to thereby that leads to a slippery slope of falling away, then we find ourselves crucifying the Son of God afresh and putting him to an open shame. That's nothing worse than that happening. They're fearful words. They're moving words, brethren and sisters. The contrast is in verse 7, we can be blessed, as opposed to verse 8, that which beareth thorns and is rejected. Comes back, doesn't it, to the parable of the sower, this deceitfulness of riches and those thorns that grow up in the very little earth that is there. If we commit ourselves to other things, we become slothful in the service of the Lord. And these things can then only lead to a falling away. The Lord Jesus showed us the way, brethren and sisters. John chapter 6, our readings only a couple of days ago. The Lord Jesus is our example, isn't he, our brethren and sisters, who did all things well, who always committed himself to the service of the Lord. And think of the pressure upon him. No person has had the pressure that the Lord Jesus has had. When he lived those 3.5 years particularly, and every day the Pharisees and the Sadducees and others were trying him and tormenting him in the way, or taunting him in the words that they were speaking, and trying to catch him in what he was saying. And the Lord knew that he had to go through a cruel death, and he overcame all that. Now, that is incredible when we break it all down, isn't it? And I wonder how much we think about that. But John chapter 6 and verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, again speaking, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles. This is the miracles now that the people were seeing. But because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled, because they saw the bread and how the Lord had created more food so they could eat. But they looked on the worldly aspect of it, didn't they? What does Jesus say? Labour not for the meat which perisheth. All the things that we do, yes, we have to live, we have to earn money to live, yes, but they will pass away, brethren and sisters, they perish. But for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. That's what we should work for. And if we work, we will not be sluggish and slothful in the things of the truth. We will work together. We will give our time to the Lord, and not give our time just to the things that we have to do day by day in worldly terms, and then make excuses that we haven't got time to serve the Lord. No. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? So what should we do, brethren and sisters? What was Jesus' answer? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that he believe on him whom he has sent. So we come here this morning believing on him whom God hath sent. This is the work. And this is what brings us together, brethren and sisters, in service. And that should be our motivating force. We believe on him whom God hath sent, and all that he has done for us, that we might have eternal life, where those riches of the world are nothing, but it's the riches of the age to come, which is truth and righteousness and holiness and all those things that we yearn for, brethren and sisters. And so when in John chapter 8, our final reading today, a lot of discourse here, but I've just picked up a little bit to show the example here. In verse 54, Jesus says, if I honour myself, my honour is nothing. It is my Father that honoureth me, and God will not honour those who do not put their next to the work, their shoulders to the work, their hands to the plough. We honour him by our service. of whom he say he is your God, yet ye have not known him, but I know him, and if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you, but I know him, and keep his saying. And the work of the Lord and working together is keeping his saying, keeping his word, brethren and sisters, and acting upon it. That unlike the seven tribes, we should yearn and work to take the inheritance which God through grace, through Christ Jesus, has prepared for us. And therefore, your father rejoiced to see my day and saw it and was glad. Abraham rejoiced because he could see the one in prophecy and in word that was to come, that would put his neck to the work, who would do all things. And Jesus is our example, brethren and sisters. So when we come, as we now come to break bread, remembering these things, and let's look at 1 Corinthians 11, well, we have that example, don't we, of what the Lord has done for us. And we shall now partake shortly of bread and wine. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 24. And when we read, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, and this is my body, which is broken or given for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also, he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which ye do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. That's a work in itself, brethren and sisters. And so we are here today. But often, how much do we reflect on the other words that follow this? Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. We've just read that, haven't we, brethren and sisters, in Hebrews. If we become slothful and sluggish and there's a falling away, and do not instruct ourselves in the things of the truth, the word of God, then we can be like that. We can turn up to the meeting every so often to break bread and to drink wine, as if that in itself will see us through the next week and do nothing else for ecclesial life and supporting one another. And this might be the only time we come together. Or we might only come now and again. If we're in danger of thinking, well, that's our fellowship, then we've got that wrong. This, what we do this morning, builds upon all our fellowship, all our work together continually. And so there were those who would only come now and again to drink the bread and wine to make themselves probably feel good that, oh, we've come, we've had the breaking of bread, now that's the work we've done, that's our lot now, we've done it now. Remember, I asked myself the question, and all ourselves were asked, do we do that? Do we just come and just now and again and come to the memorial meeting? And I've heard it. Oh, we've been to the breaking of bread, that we've come to the main meeting. Don't see people for weeks then. Oh, and then come again. Now, I might be using some hard, but it's true, isn't it, brethren and sisters? We should examine ourselves, and so let eat and drink of that bread. For he and eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. If we do not serve the Lord, how can we come to worship him and to partake in this way? Because our hearts aren't right, are they, brethren and sisters? We're not wholeheartedly serving him. We are just coming and doing things in the way that is not right, because we have not fully served or are fully serving the Lord. These are strong words of exhortation to myself and to all of us, brethren and sisters. So let's not be slothful, brethren and sisters. Let's not fall away. Let us now partake and think about these things and our service to him who gave all for us and is our example. Remembering, brethren and sisters, that he or she who endures to the end shall be saved.